Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name's Catherine Carr, and this is Season 2 of Relatively, the podcast all about potentially the longest relationships of your life.
The first scan that they had, we were so aligned that they could only see one baby.
Oh. I'll be bringing siblings together to talk about the connections they have as adults, as well as what it was like growing up together. This week, we're talking to the singer Hannah Moxon.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Hannah.
Hello. Hi.
And her very similar sounding sister, Naomi Moxon, who's the youngest by a minute.
It is a bit weird. We are always the top of each other's lists, like in priority. So, and everyone's just okay with it, aren't they?
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
That's exactly it, Brian. Mm. Yeah.
But I'll also talk to them separately to get a more private take on the relationship.
I think sometimes some people have said that when it comes to like jokes, I'm a bit slow and Hannah's maybe a little bit quicker at getting the joke. And I'm like, oh, right. You don't want your twin to feel sad at all, of course. And we knew exactly what we were going through because they were doing it to both of us. So we could really sympathise.
Brothers and sisters are never straightforward. Sopranos Naomi and Hannah perform under the name Classical Reflection. Brit-nominated and no stranger to the classical charts, the two women gained national attention after appearing on the TV programme The Voice in 2015. We talk about that, about tough schools, driving tests, parental encouragement, and advice for how not to react to identical twins that you meet. We also address the elephant in the room.
Hello! We're back.
Oh, hi.
We're back. We're both back.
And this is going to be where I really can't tell you apart.
Oh, don't worry. Well, I think, have I got slightly, what would you say is different about my voice, Naomi?
I don't know. People just say what slightly different voices. Would you say so?
Can you tell our voices apart?
But Naomi started by describing the quite rare kind of twins that they are.
Yes, we're mirror twins. So it's basically like identical twins, but everything's sort of on the opposite side. So I write with my left and Hannah writes with her right. And whenever we had our, obviously our baby teeth were all coming through, they would fall out on the opposite side, sort of in turn and stuff like that. So it was everything was on the opposite.
And so does that actually, apart from teeth and eyes, and which is a little bit odd, but weird and wonderful, does it also kind of continue into your sense of self? Like, do you sort of feel like you've been peeled apart from the other half of you, or is that too grim?
Yeah, I think so. We were actually, well, at one point, I suppose we were one person. So I think it's like having one soul that's been put into two bodies. That's what I always like to think.
How much do you mind being seen as Hanomi, like an entity? Because Naomi described it as being like one soul, two bodies.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Yes,
we do. You?
Yes, and to be honest, we don't have a problem with people sort of grouping us together. I think the issue we sometimes have is when people will say about differences, just strangers will come up to us and say, I know the difference is because you've got a fat face and you haven't. Or you've got a big nose and you haven't. And oh my word, honestly, people, especially when we were growing up, that used to be a real sore point. because sometimes things that you are a bit, you know, aware of yourself, people would just come up and point it out to you. People who don't even know us.
Like it's a sort of game, like a spot the difference.
That's exactly
game.
It. Exactly. And we know it happens to other twins because, yeah, we've said, oh, are you, like jokingly, we'll say, oh, were you the, you know, the fat twin? And they'd say, oh, yeah, they're always the fat twin. Like, that was actually something that we thought it's easier if people group us together because then they don't, you know, point out things that maybe we are maybe aware of ourselves, if that makes sense. So,
Do you think it's funny? This has nothing to do with being a sibling, but I'm tall.
really quite tall for a woman. And I think twins maybe comes in a similar category to tallness, that people think you can't possibly object to it and you're sort of public property.
That's exactly it. And I think they think that it will make us feel like we're individuals, like they really badly want to be able to tell us apart. And some people have actually put us next to each other, said, "Oh, stand next to each other," and then they'll glance, they'll look, there's a moment of silence where they're like looking from one to the other to try and find something that they can say, "Oh, that's different about you."
But I wonder how you would describe Naomi.
Well, there's so many things I could describe about Naomi. I think she's so caring.
She's very, very caring, very kind, always has time for people.
She is generous with her time,
always go over and above what she needs to do, mm-hmm. and
so thoughtful. She maybe is a bit of an overthinker.
A lot of an overthinker, overanalyzes maybe a little bit too much. And the best twin.
Just the best person I know. That's what I'd say. Definitely.
So you've basically just described each other identically.
Yeah.
It's the problem, isn't it? Because we're so similar. And it does feel like when you're saying compliments, you do feel a bit like you feel a bit like you're just like being a bit
worrying that you don't want to describe like your own qualities.
Yeah, you don't have to see big-headed. Like I'm just, do you know what I mean?
Even though it's about the other one.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Is there anything where you would say you're more fiery, more patient, more forgiving, more greedy, more, is there anything that you're more or less than Hannah?
I think probably maybe it's the different circumstances. So I think, say, when we're performing, sometimes Hannah can be a little bit more nervous just before we go on, and I probably make sure that we're feeling okay and confident.
How would I say, like, pull your shoulders back, and I say, like, if you
just look proud,
look
proud and confident,
and then you'll be proud and confident.
Yeah,
it does help.
It definitely helps. Yeah, even just for the song, then you can go back to not being so confident afterwards. But Hannah's great at organising like daily life, and so maybe Hannah's slightly more organised than me. And some people have said that when it comes to like jokes, I'm a bit slow in like picking up a joke, and Hannah's maybe a little bit quicker at getting the joke. And I'm like, oh right, those are maybe some of the differences that I've found. I mean, Naomi's very organised too, but
I'm just a bit slower.
No, you're not slow. It's just that one of us has to be even more organised than the other, don't we?
True, yeah, exactly.
So that leads me on to a question then about education and kind of, do you feel like you're equally clever, and did you find things equally easy and equally hard at school?
We're really similar when it comes to sort of academics, and we picked all the same subjects and everything like that. So like all throughout our schooling, but when we got to secondary school, we had a really tough time at school. We were both bullied quite badly, and I think that's when probably academically we went down a little bit because we just weren't very happy.
What were you bullied for, if you don't mind me asking?
I think, to be honest with you, I still don't really even know. I think we were quite different, obviously, because being twins is quite unusual. That's an easy target to be picked on. It was a tough time, tough school. And we only had each other as our only friends, really, at early secondary school. We really are so thankful that we were twins in that scenario.
But what does it feel like if your twin is like the other half of you? You've just said it's like one soul, two bodies. So
yes. You
feel really similar and you might respond similarly. So if you saw Hannah being upset by what was going on at school,
yes. Did
that almost feel worse than if it was happening to you, or just like it was happening to you?
It was awful, actually. I mean, I used to have a really awful time in some of my classes. There's one particular boy who used to pick on me every single day, and Hannah used to find that really hard because I obviously used to tell her about it afterwards. But we used to go and sit in the library and eat her lunch in there, like behind all the bookshelves. at the start of school, they put us in different, like, separate classes. We used to worry a lot about how the other one was coping in, you know, with it all. And it helped a lot once we were in the same class. We were there as sort of a moral support, I think. But at the start, I think it was hard because, you know, you don't want your twin to feel sad at all, of course. But probably those people never would know that we had such a bad time. And I think it made us who we are now. I think we never would change it, because I think it really helps to make you such a strong person. And yeah, I think we had each other there to get through it together.
And whose idea was it to get you to sing? Is your mum musical or your dad musical?
Yeah, I think, well, our mum loves music, and she always took us to little sing for fun groups when we were little. Mm. And we used to just love it so much. It was like our favourite thing. It was for like preschool children, but we remember it so vividly even now. Our dad was always a singer. He used to sing in his church choir, and then he became a chorister. He had such a beautiful voice when he was like a little boy, but obviously when his voice broke, it wasn't cool for boys, you know, to sing, and he stopped singing, unfortunately. I think we were six, I think, and at our local church they had like an adult choir, but we said, oh, we'd really love to be in the choir. And we went and asked the lady who ran it, can we be in the adult choir? And she said, oh, we're too young. But she said, you know, we can make a children's choir for you. And so us and one of our friends joined, and there was literally three of us in the choir. And that was it. Yeah, we can't remember how good we all were. We probably were Well, we were all so little, it probably wasn't very good, but they were all so lovely about it. It was a lovely memory, actually, that one.
And was that one of your first sort of performing memories?
Yeah, I think it actually was probably the first thing we ever sung in front of like a big group of people. We used to have the same singing teacher that we used to go to on Friday evenings, and she was so amazing. She was the best singing teacher ever. We were so shy when we first went, and she was like, oh, come on. She was like, a little bit louder. And that was like our total relaxation time. But no one knew that we did singing because we were too shy to sort of put ourselves out there. But we changed secondary schools subsequently, and then we just sung all the time. We did it in front of school, and that just helped enormously with our confidence.
What about your mum and dad's encouragement when, you know, your second secondary school that you swapped to, which I know was much more kind of conducive to giving you confidence to perform and stuff.
Yeah.
What did your mum at any point sort of say, you know, girls, this could be something?
Yeah, they sort of encouraged us so much. And I think at the start, I think our parents were just so happy that we were enjoying school again. I don't think they really thought too much past that. But I remember at the first secondary school that we went to, the bad one, I remember they had a careers day, and they said, oh, what would you like to be when you're older? And we said, we'd like to be singers. I remember the teacher saying, that's not a real job. You pick a real job. And that really stuck with us. So I think really until the second school, I don't even think we even considered it a viable job at all. Like, I don't think we had that in our heads.
Yeah.
That's something we could do. Okay. Well, years later, we went back to the school, the bad one, because someone we knew, a family friend, had their daughter had an audition at the school. So we went with her. And we saw the man who said it, and we did tell him. We didn't have to say it because we thought, you know, we're just gonna gotta say it.
Go for it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So what was the difference then between standing on stage in your newer, I'm guessing, slightly kinder secondary school,
yes,
and sort of belting out a song and people going, hey, wow, that's amazing, compared to sitting in the library eating your sandwiches behind a shelf of books? Because that does, yes, paint really quite a, it's quite an upsetting image, really.
Yeah. I feel like if we go back and give ourselves a hug, we probably would. We moved and it literally changed within that year. The teachers were really encouraging, and they heard us sing, the music teacher, and she was like, oh, you've got to perform, you know, you're really great. We just felt really supported. All the classmates were just so encouraging. They actually lent us a sound system because the mayor at the time had seen us perform, and she invited us to go and sing at one of her like gala dinners. And they were like, I'll take some of our sound equipment and just go and do it. And so that's how it started, really. And then we auditioned for The Voice, and then that's where it all changed. We did feel like, okay, maybe this is going to work now. We do feel very proud of how we created our own careers, really. We do feel proud of that.
We do feel really proud, yeah. And it's such a good, fun time as well. It's not, you know, of course, it's a lot of hard work, and you don't get sort of opportunities given to us at all, really.
No,
it's really all going out and creating them or finding them ourselves, and a lot of knocking on doors. So once you get that result, it feels even better because you've done it yourself.
Yeah.
I feel that's a good, it's a great feeling when that happens.
Immediately afterwards, your mum and dad were there sort of hugging off stage, and then
that's,
things must have changed quite a bit after that.
And we did have quite a lot of people sort of contact us about representation, but we did go meet quite a few, but it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great. And we finished up thinking, you know, it's better.
You can do it completely on our own.
Yeah, we haven't got a record label or anything, and we've released sort of our own music independently. We've found it to be a lot better to have control over it than to not have control over it. So
and these days, you know, you can go into the classical charts absolutely fine, you know, on your own. You don't actually need a record label to do it. It was a little bit more tricky, wasn't it?
It's more tricky, but
it was totally fine. And so, yeah, I think that's probably what we found straight afterwards when we came off. But yeah, we decided to sort of do it independently, which was, I think, a really good choice for us.
But I mean, like, Brit nominated and charting in the classical charts and 6 million views on YouTube and performing at huge events alongside really well-known singers at prestigious venues. Those are big results.
We do feel lucky, even though we know we have put in quite a lot of work behind the scenes. We do feel also there is an element of feeling really lucky, and you know, we're so very, very grateful for it.
That's the word,
isn't it? We're very grateful. So
yeah,
those sort of those big events, we sort of look back at when
with
we were younger,
fun memories,
thinking how what's happened in that time, like all those years. So yeah, we feel very lucky
for sure.
Could you do it by yourself, either of you?
No.
No,
definitely not.
No, I think it would be so weird doing it by ourselves.
Yeah. I think we need like the support, don't we?
Yes.
And the moral support as well as also the singing support. Both.
Yeah. I imagine it would be quite lonely going from sort of event to event, just being like a solo singer, because I suppose you don't really have any colleagues, whereas we have each other as our own colleagues, which I feel makes it not a lonely job. So yeah. Absolutely not. We couldn't do it without each other, could we?
No.
So if you were put in separate classes in the first bad school, which I really love the fact we're calling it the bad school.
Yes.
The bad school. So you're put in separate classes then, and then you were back together, and then you did The Voice, and now you do events, and you dress the same together, and you're each other's colleagues, and you keep each other going. Do you look forward and imagine a time when you won't be together all the time, or do you... Do you prepare for that eventuality that one of you might move away or things might change?
I mean, I think it happens very gradually. So I think it probably wouldn't.
And I think at some point, our singing careers, we're aware that, you know, of course, there is a bit of a shelf life on singing generally.
And also, especially, like, we know, I think we sort of, we're quite aware of that. And also, we both want to be mums.
We do.
Very badly. And I think once, you know, when that happens, I think then...
That's a different whole scenario again.
Yeah.
But I think for this time in our lives, we're... You know, and obviously we're always going to be this close, but we don't know how long the singing career will continue. But obviously we hope for a while longer would be great. but we are aware that this type of career definitely has a shelf life,
for sure.
But I just wonder, with relationships and things, do people that you have relationships with romantically, do they know that they're sharing you a little bit?
Oh yeah, I mean, we are always the top of each other's lists, like in priorities. and that will never change. Like, no one will ever come between us. Now, I know all twins say that, but genuinely, we are the top of each other's priority list. And I think everyone else just knows that they come down further on the list than each other, and everyone's just okay with it, aren't they?
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
That's exactly it, Brian. Yeah.
But not in a mean way. But obviously, I think when it's your twin, it's just like a...
It's a love like no other. You just can't compare it to any other love. That's what I think.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think everybody knows that.
Do you know, when people listen to this podcast, they're going to think that I've done really, really bad editing.
Oh, no.
Because one of you starts and then the other one finishes a sentence. So it's going to sound like I've spliced together two things. And it isn't. It's the same voice, almost, but finishing each other's sentence.
Oh, no.
No, I like it. I love
it.
No, I'm enjoying it so much. So what's your ambition then? Or what's the thing that you think, when that happens... then we'll be high-fiving each other like Hanomi will have made it.
We'd love to sing at the Royal Albert Hall again. Yeah, another event.
We'd like to release some more songs.
We'd love to sing on like a game or like a film soundtrack at some point. It would be really cool. And also, this is a bit of like a strange one, but it's one that, because we grew up watching this show, but we'd love to be on Songs of Praise.
Oh. Our grandma like used to watch every single week, and we were in the choir.
It's been like eight or something.
Yeah, maybe even less than eight, maybe about seven. We watched like a live Songs of Praise, and we saw this boy singing. He must have been like probably about 12. He sung on the show. That was the first time we thought, maybe we could, like,
we'd love to do that.
We'd love to do that. Like, we'd love to sing up there. That's amazing. He was really incredible, wasn't he? And since then, we just always wanted to do it. It's been like it's been a real goal.
A real goal of ours. To sing our Songs of Praise.
Songs of Praise. Yeah. Such a Sunday tea time, sort of grandma viewing.
Yeah,
and two final questions. What's your go-to karaoke song if you have one?
Oh my gosh.
I'd say a Reach.
Reach for the Stars.
Mess of Seven.
Mess of Seven. Or like a Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
Or It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the experience of going up on stage in a karaoke place and just blowing people's minds?
We did it once. We find karaoke quite awkward, because I feel like with karaoke, you sort of have to be not bad. You just get up and actually try, and you look like you're trying too hard, because it doesn't look funny. But we did do karaoke once, and we went camping, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Our friends, and we were like 17, and we're like, yay, we're like living our best lives.
Yeah.
And we got up and did karaoke, and we sung If I Can't Help Falling in Love with You,
didn't we?
Elvis.
And it was a bit, it wasn't funny. Like, we only ever did it once, because it just wasn't funny. And we thought that just wasn't fun. Like, it just wasn't great. We thought, no, never again.
So we just leave it up to our friends to do it. And
yeah.
We will watch, and we will clap, and we will scream, and cheer them on.
The final one is a new question I've added to the list of ones, which I will ask from now on relatively, which is, what was the one thing you weren't allowed to do as kids, which is slightly unusual or particular to you? So for example, when I was younger, and I'm a lot older than you, I was not allowed to watch Grange Hill, because it was about quite a rough comprehensive. My husband wasn't allowed to watch Dukes of Hazzard after one of his friends got out of their new car window without opening the door because he copied it.
Oh my gosh.
So I wonder what little rule your family might have had that's particular to your household.
This isn't like a rule, but it is quite funny looking back on it. We weren't allowed to watch Aladdin, the second Aladdin, because it was a PG, until we were like, I think we had to be six before we were allowed to watch it, I think.
Yeah.
And remember counting down the days to our sixth birthday so we could watch Aladdin 2. That was something I remember. Do you remember that?
I remember that. It wasn't actually that scary.
There's nothing scary about it.
But our parents used to watch all like the films to check we wouldn't be like traumatized by
we used to remember Lion King, you know, the bit where Mufasa dies, we used to make our mum like skip forward on the video
it'd be crying every time, so because we still cry
but that film still makes us cry
every time.
That is trauma. I mean, I give you that's real trauma, Mufasa.
Well, it's a lovely
real
film
trauma.
It's an amazing film. Yeah. Isn't it, but just very sad.
the new one we cried so hard in the cinema, it was actually embarrassing. Like, so people could hear us, it was just so embarrassing.
Thank you to Naomi and to Hannah, and thank you too for listening. Do you know what she said that she could do to you to wind you up?
What did she say?
She said you could criticise your driving.
Oh yeah. See, I feel that would annoy her too if I criticised her driving. I feel like we have got it down to fine art. Like, if we wanted to annoy each other, we just know exactly what to say. And I think all siblings do. Like, we both passed our tests on the same day. I actually sat in the back of the car as Hannah passed her test.
Did you?
I actually did. I sat in the back for Hannah's and Hannah sat in the back for mine.
That's so extreme.
It was quite extreme twinness, wasn't it? That is quite extreme, like, twinning.
To see some really sweet pictures of Hannah and Naomi, to find out more about the podcast, head to relativelypodcast.com. Coming up in the last few episodes of season two, before we have a break for Christmas, one half of the Scummy Mummies, Helen Thorne, and her composer brother John, Bobby Seagull and his brother and designer Sophie Robinson. If you've been enjoying season two, please do rate, review and subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, or even better, just recommend us to your brother or your sister. There's a good tradition of love and hate, staying by the fireside.
side there's a good tradition of love and hate. Staying by the fireside, no, the rain may fall. Your father's calling you, you still feel safe inside. Although your mom's too proud, your brother's ignoring you, you still feel safe inside. Oh, was it solo? Was it yesterday? Was it true for you? 'Cause while all the rest had taken time, this didn't do a lot for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.